Are tuned in to the Saturday Splash with Maddie and Lynn here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.
Maddie, I would like to learn about composting.
I'm glad you said that because composting really brings a lot of joy to my life.
Well, that's good because you know what I keep hearing, you keep telling me about it and I keep hearing about it because we only have two people in our household, but we wind up with a lot of food waste.
Oh, yeah. I only have one person in my household and I still have enough to compost. So, yeah, that's, you mentioned food waste. Composting, we'll get all into the process of composting in just a minute. But to start off, composting, you can compost with food scraps, you can compost with yard scraps. And food waste is something that I'm very passionate about. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, which is a UN organization, approximately 40% of food in the United States goes to waste. So that means all of this effort was put into growing, distributing, purchasing food, and nearly a third of it gets put into the garbage.
Why?
People buy too much. People don't plan ahead. People change their minds.
You know that happens to me, though. Like, a lot of times I'll buy salad or something, and then, well, I don't buy salad now because I grow my own salad, which is super awesome. But when I buy salad, you know, you get a certain size package, and, you know, you can't eat all of it.
Yeah, this is true, especially for, you said, family of two. So that's where composting really comes into play. So we can keep some of this food waste out of the landfill and turn it back into soil. So it came from the earth. Why not return it to the earth?
I think that's a great idea because that's what I would like to do. When I set up my garden, I bought all different kinds of compost because I did not compost myself. But now that I'm, you know, through year two of gardening, I think that what I'd like to do is fill up my garden with compost. So how do I even get started with that?
It's really easy. And I think people kind of get afraid because, oh, it's a pile of rotting food and wanted to attract pests and blah, blah, blah. Composting is so easy. It's so easy that the environment is constantly composting. If you've ever walked out in the forest and you've looked down at the ground, there you go. That's compost.
Really?
It doesn't quite take food scraps into account, but composting is just basically recycling these organic matters and returning them to the earth.
Well, we're talking about food. Is there something else that I guess I could compost other things too that I use, right?
Oh yeah. Paper. You can compost paper, food scraps, yard scraps. So at the bare minimum, what you need is a space.
Okay. So I have a space in my yard.
Okay. Now I recommend at least you could just put it in a pile. I recommend at least building a wooden box to put it in. So a bottom to the box. And if you want to especially be careful, I recommend building a lid for it. That way you keep all the pests out, like raccoons.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what? We have like squirrels and raccoons and stuff, and I can just see them getting into it if I'm going to put food scraps in there.
Put a lid on there and put a latch on it.
That makes good sense.
No problem. And then you can get fancy. I mean, you can buy all sorts of tumbling composters or these high-tech boxes, but, you know, really all you need is some wooden boards or even, you know, a 55-gallon drum, something like that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, a 55-gallon drum sounds that's doable.
That's easy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a dime a dozen.
And we always have, why is it we always have extra wood around the house? I don't even know where it comes from.
So you can build a compost bin.
We can. I'm gonna put Greg on it right this week.
Awesome. All right. So now you've got your bin. You got to figure out, okay, what do I put in the bin?
Some sort of fancy something that you got to put in there?
Yeah, super fancy. It's called your unwanted food.
Oh,
right.
That doesn't seem fancy.
Yeah, it's not. So these are things, you know, any kind of fruit scraps, vegetable scraps. Now you don't want to put in meat. You don't want to put in dairy, cheeses, fats, oils, because that will attract pests. And they really just don't break down as easily as your vegetation. I mean, there are commercial composters that can do it, but just for the kind of at-home composting, you know, you're fine. We won't get into this too much, but you're putting in browns and greens. So your browns are your carbon, your greens are your nitrogen, and you want to find the right balance. And the good thing is there are calculators online and it'll basically tell you, okay, put X amount of fruit and X amount of leaves and X amount of paper if you want to get that perfect ideal balance. But your most simple compost pile, just put everything in it.
Well,
it's not a big deal.
I want a perfect ideal balance. You know how I am.
Oh yeah.
Super picky about stuff like that.
Good.
But so I would compost things like paper. Is there any sort of paper that
compost?
I shouldn't compost?
No waxy paper, But just like your basic newspapers, and, you know, copy papers, that's fine. So once you get everything in there, there's a few keys to a successful compost. So first is temperature. So you need your compost to get nice and hot. An ideal compost temperature is between 135 and 160 degrees Fahrenheit.
So
135 to 160 Fahrenheit is ideal for composting.
So do I want to put it in the sun? Is that kind of the idea then? Somewhere that's going to get some sun?
Yeah, an area with sunlight. And you want to get the temperature so high because that's what kills your parasites and larvae and weeds and things like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So you need a high temperature. And luckily, once you start getting your microorganisms in there, little microbes, which is a good thing, y'all, you're supposed to have little bugs and little microorganisms in your compost because they're the ones that are doing the composting. They're breaking everything down. And those, microorganisms also give off heat. So that's how you're going to keep that heat up.
Okay. So you're mentioning microorganisms and I heard you say about bugs. So does that mean generally I would not, that maybe putting it right up against the house is not a great idea?
Probably not so much. I mean, you can, but yeah, keep it away from the house a little bit. The next thing you need, aeration and moisture. So aeration, you need to make sure that there is enough oxygen in your compost for those microbes to metabolize the organic matter. So that might mean you take a pitchfork and you turn your pile. That might mean you have a tumbler and you tumble it. But you just need to keep air in there. So you kind of keep, you know, you don't want it to get too dense and packed down because then there's no air and then your aerobic digestion is not happening.
That sounds like a great job for Greg.
That does. Yes. That does.
He's going to be so excited to be able to work with a pitchfork.
Yes. Put on his overalls and straw hat.
Oh, yeah. And for y'all who don't know, Greg is my husband.
And now he has chores this
weekend. And now he has chores.
Surprise.
Yay.
Yeah. So you also need good moisture in your compost. So you need to find a good balance. Not too wet, not too dry. So if it's dry and crumbly, you need to add water. You need to add wet materials. And if it's liquidy, you need to add dry materials like maybe sawdust or paper. So you should be able to squeeze it and have it stay firm, but it shouldn't be dripping and leaking and it shouldn't be falling apart.
Okay. So you just need to kind of keep an eye on it and make sure it's always a little bit damp.
Yes. Damp, not wet, not dry. Goldilocks.
Okay. So you mentioned browns and greens. What are examples? I mean, obviously greens, that's going to be like my fruit, you know, fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing. But what else would be, what else is there is, you know, what else? Like, I guess lawn scraps, yard waste, maybe?
Yeah. Grass clippings, you mentioned fruits and vegetables. Those are going to be your big kind of greens. And then the greens are easy to get, you know, especially in the kitchen when you have food waste. Those are really easy to get. What's sometimes harder is your browns. Those are kind of drier things like fall's coming. So, you know, leaves from the trees. Those are really good browns or paper.
So it's kind of the thing that greens, generally speaking, are moist and browns, generally speaking, are a little bit drier because we mentioned leaves in both segments. So are we talking like green leaves are considered a green and dry leaves are considered a brown? Is that kind of it?
You know, that's a good question.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to stop you. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good question. And right. You are correct.
Okay, perfect. So I have heard people talk about putting coffee grounds into compost. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And especially, we'll get off slightly off topic. Another kind of compost thing that you can do is called vermicomposting, and that is composting with worms. So this is what I do. I live in an apartment, so I don't actually have a yard in which to compost. However, I do have 1,000 worms that live in a bucket under my sink.
You have worms in your house?
Vermicomposting is so easy. You need a couple of Rubbermaid bins, a drill, some soil, and some worms.
But don't the worms get all over the place?
Oh, no. They don't want to. Worms do not like being in the light. So, you know, as long as they're in the bucket, they're going to stay in the bucket. They're going to stay deep in the soil. They're not going to come venture out because they don't like the light. It stresses them out.
So wait,
they live underground in nature, so.
That makes sense. And now that I'm thinking about it, one of the types of compost that I got for the garden was earthworm castings, and that's earthworm compost,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's earthworm castings. Well, when you do composting, when you do vermicomposting, you generally use red wigglers, which are not quite, they have red earthworms too, but this isn't like your regular go out in the garden and dig a whole earthworm. And there, one thing to note, if you do vermicompost and you get your red wigglers, they are an invasive species, so they're not native. So don't put them outside once you're done with your compost. The best thing to do really is just to give them to somebody else who wants to start composting, because if you put those red wigglers into the ecosystem, they outcompete the natives because they have no natural predators. So they can easily take over an area. So just something to note. So, but yeah, worm poop, super nutritious.
Super great. That's really, now I just have to convince Greg to get worms.
They're really easy too. They're really cool, especially if you have an apartment or maybe you have kids or you don't want to start full on composting. The downside is that they don't process as much food waste as your regular composter, and it's really hard to kind of put, you know, your yard waste in there. It's just just too much. They you know, especially for like an under the sink operation, they don't go through that much.
I don't really see traipsing, you know, yard waste through the house under and putting it under the sink. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it's good for you with the apartment.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then, you know, you have 1,000 pets.
Okay, so let's say, Greg has a project this weekend. He is going to build a compost bin. We're going to build it in a sunny spot. And we're going to put some, we're going to start it with some food scraps and maybe some paper and that kind of thing. When will I have compost? Will it be like next week?
It really depends on how productive your microbes are, how hot it's getting, what you're putting into it. Good compost, I've heard people say they can make really good compost in just a couple of months. I've never been quite that efficient at it, but it can take anywhere from a few months to a year. It really depends how often you're turning the pile and what you're putting into it. Right now, we're getting to be fall, so you're not going to see as much activity in your compost pile as you will in the summer, just because it's not getting as hot outside, so your compost isn't getting as hot. But that's not to say you can't compost during the winter. Just if it's not going as fast as you want now, give it time, because come spring, all that stuff's kind of pre-broken down. You're going to get compost very quickly.
I can be patient.
Good. And people alternate. You know, once one bin fills up, you kind of let that one sit and decompose, and then you switch to another bin to fill your scraps up, and you can alternate between two or three bins too, so you have compost all the time.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, well, you could. I could see where you could do that. All right. Thanks.
That's it. SaturdaySplash.com for more conservation information. Saturday Splash, 7 a.m. on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.
Tune in next week.
Bye.